Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to combine two tiers here for this wide receiver tier show. And it's a combination of the kind of adjacent, I guess you could almost blend them if you wanted to some degree. But it's the long reliever types of inning eaters, and it is the WTF tier. So the long relievers. So I think of this as like, so you think of like innings eaters as being, you know, kind of like your, you know, we talked about this, like the Jamie Moyer type in baseball. You go out, get you six innings, and you have three runs, keep you in the game, get you to the bullpen, and feeling pretty good about it, right? Save your bench, right? Keep in games. Maybe not necessarily going to win you a Cy Young. Maybe not necessarily going to, you know, be the reason that you win, but you can win with them, right? Kind of that approach. This group is a little bit different. This group is what I would consider like a long reliever at this point. I would consider more of the guys that you would you put out there when you're like down, right? Like when it's not optimal, and you're just like, all right, I need to kind of get through this game, right? So you're trailing by six runs, and you need someone to just go in there and kind of chew up, you know, some innings, so that way you save the rest of your bullpen, right? Not necessarily a first priority bet, right? Not necessarily where you're going to lean on, right? If you're dealing with these guys in your lineup, you're probably not feeling great about it. But, you know, they're in short samples, right? They can kind of fix you in a bind, right? That's kind of what I view this group as. And so again, there's a little bit of a blend here in terms of some of these guys. I think it's helpful to sort of consider them and sort of where they are in their career and really what we've been dealing with, in some of our recent stuff. So, the tier is, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Adam Thielen, Tyler Boyd, and Marvin Jones. Now, Brandon Cooks, potential trade candidate, Adam Thielen, potential cut candidate, Robert Woods, and Marvin Jones, both free agents, Tyler Boyd, wide receiver three on his team. Some things I think of note here. Brandon Cooks, the most efficient of this group, still 1.64 yards per route run in 2022. When you look at his career, it was at 1.81. So, again, down a little bit. I think some of the situation probably can contribute to that. I wouldn't necessarily bet on him to be, you know, season-long. At this point, we don't know where he's going to be, right? He could be back with Houston. They signed like an all-time bad contract with him. It's almost remarkable how bad the contract they signed with him was. And that for him to be unhappy almost immediately was pretty wild. So maybe he could be back there, or, you know, they take on some money or something and get a pick for him, something like that. I could see him as an innings, as a season-long innings eater. However, I don't at this point because I don't know what the situation is. So I kind of lumped him in this group more so than some of the certainty of the other group. He's the most efficient of this group. And, you know, when you look at him, a career per routes run guy, he's the second best. Thielen's the best of this group. He's the second best. And then the other guys are lumped together, basically a tear down. Woods, Boyd, and Marvin Jones kind of lumped together. Another tier down there. So if you're sort of thinking about, you know, where these guys kind of rank efficiency-wise, that's it, right? Thielen the most efficient. However, pretty big crater this past year. I would say Cooks is probably the best bet. And if you had to sort of pick, hey, give me a guy to give me a top 24 finish, I think at this point it's probably Brandon Cooks. He was in on 66.8% of routes last year. Again, he was banged up and missed a little bit of time. And it was a pretty rough situation, but below his career yards per route run number, I still think he's usable. out there, you know, well beyond wide receiver 50, for example, in on that type of cost. Okay. Robert Woods, the next one. Again, he's a free agent. We'll see where he lands. I'm kind of looking, you know, if I'm thinking about him, it's more of a depth option, right? Wide receiver 4, something like that. You know, if you're kind of playing a really tight receiver set, something like that, he could be a 4 or 5. You know, if you're kind of blending a couple of young guys in there as well, you know, maybe he's that type of option. We'll see where he lands in free agency. 1.14 yards per route run, well below his career number of 1.59. Again, remember, he had a knee injury end of 2021 season. Came back for the 2022 season after being traded to Tennessee, and they were kind of a dumpster fire. So while I don't necessarily think he's a high-end player at this end of his career, he's probably better than he was last year. Okay, so looking to see where he lands in free agency and could be a potential, you know, if chase a ring chaser kind of at this point would be what I expect him to be. Thielen's a potential cut candidate, right? There's a little bit of question about how they're going to approach this offseason in Minnesota. It seems like they're going to stick with Cousins, but there's some thought that maybe Thielen's a post-June 1 cut. Some of the cap stuff with him is pretty high, but they can get off of some of the money if they designate him a post-June 1 cut. So we'll see what happens there. 1.06 yards per route run. That's a pretty big crater. Here's a 1.79 yards per route run guy. Again, been a bit of pretty big red zone guy in his career. So that contributes to his 0.41 points per route run, which, again, that's like a 90th percentile career number. That's a really excellent number. So we'll see what his offseason brings. Do they bring in another wide receiver ahead of him? I would expect that they would do so. I would advise them to do so. Obviously, they're not paying attention to this podcast, but you continue to build weapons, right? You're going to need cheap guys at premium positions. Now you're going to sign Justin Jefferson. We'll see what they do with Cousins and the like. Right? Those things are all going to be important there. Go out and get yourself a wide receiver so you can kind of slot KJ Osborne and Thielen more in like depth type roles as you bring along, you know, a wide receiver, you know, like a Jackson Smith and Jigbo would be a dynamite pick for them, for example. Tyler Boyd, again, 82%. And by the way, it's worth noting that Thielen, 92% route participation. Again, he was still basically a full-time player for them this past year. So I would expect that to erode, though, a bit as his efficiency has eroded. Tyler Boyd, 82% route participation this past year, 1.36 yards per route run. Again, he's a 1.56 career guy. He's basically like the median wide receiver this past year, right, in terms of like yearly production. He's a 76th percentile career guy. You know, and his targets per route run low relative to his career number. He's a 27th percentile type guy this year. On his career, he is a 66th percentile targets per route run guy. So a bit of a letdown there. Again, you have two guys around him that are excellent, and Higgins and Chase, you're going to struggle, right? And I think that that's kind of the mark there with him. He's just not going to be a big high value, high target, high volume guy at this particular point. But in the event of an injury, it's good offense. You can kind of throw him in there in a game. That's kind of what we're thinking. Marvin Jones, the last one. Again, he's a free agent. I'd be interested to see where he lands. You know, is he an option for a team that's a contender? But I still think he has a little bit of something to offer. You know, it's down this past year. He was more placed in a wide receiver 3 type role. So it's down a bit in efficiency. But if you're looking, if you're kind of chasing, if you're a contending team and kind of chasing some of the numbers, right, or you know, just trying to chase a solution at a depth. You know, if the Bills approach this offseason was like, hey, we're going to bring in Marvin Jones and see what Khalil Shakir develops into, you know, maybe we take a late round 1 guy, something in day 2, something like that. I could see that as a viable approach, right? That would kind of be the type of player that he would be at this particular point. So again, maybe that's a wide receiver 2 in a given week, something like that. And you feel, you know, if it's a good offense, you can maybe spot start him, something like that. But that's kind of how I would view him, kind of how I'd think about him at this particular point. He had some red zone efficiency stuff. Again, dating back even a couple of years now, he was an underperformer largely in some of the touchdown stuff from like a couple of years ago. He had a really inefficient split in some of his red zone stuff. High targets, didn't really cash him in. And then Zay Jones kind of took over that role this past year. So You know, that's kind of been his role and how he's been scoring a large amount of fantasy points. Maybe he still has something to offer again. He's into his 30s now on the decline, but still could potentially offer something there for a team. And again, if that's a good offense, you know, maybe he's a spot starter, emergency spot starter for you. Now, I think overall, the plan for this tier is, you know, minimal rostership now, but these are sort of, as the offseason goes forward, right, you might look at like spot opportunities to add them, right? There may be throw-ins and deeper deals, right? If you're trying to optimize the back end of your roster and, you know, Tyler Boyd becomes available as a free agent, something like that, that's kind of the way you think about this, right? Cheap, they're cheap depth, right, at this point. And I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't want to roster like two or three of these guys on a team, right? One is kind of what you're thinking of, right? You don't need a bunch of middle relievers if you're down seven, right? If you're down seven, you put one middle reliever out there, three or four innings, that'll eat it up. And then, listen, if you need to then cycle on, you can cycle on to another one, right? You can send that middle reliever down to the minor leagues or bring somebody else up, and then they serve that role in a future game, right? That's kind of the same way that I view these guys, right? Again, I think Brandon Cooks would be the best, like the best longer-term bet. I think everyone else is kind of has proven to be kind of on a decline, both in role or efficiency at this point. Cooks a little bit in the efficiency perspective, but again, still a lot higher than the rest of these guys. That's how I'd kind of view them. All right, now let's take a turn. Again, I'm double dipping in this podcast because it's not a ton of analysis to be had in a couple of these, but this is the next one I call the WTF tier. You know, short for, well, you understand. It's Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley, Will Fuller. Will Fuller and Calvin Ridley didn't play last year. Will Fuller will be 29 years old. I can't believe this. Will Fuller will be 29 years old. And just didn't play. I don't understand why he didn't sign, right? I very quizzical to me. So again, maybe he has other stuff going on. He's just going to pursue other avenues of his life. That's great. If that's what's going on, it's a bummer if something else is going on. Again, 25th round and beyond, you want to take just a shot in a startup draft, something like that, no problem. But I wouldn't expend a ton of capital on a player that didn't play last year, and we don't really have a good reason why. Allen Robinson, very similar, I think, at this point. I mean, I'm not going to cut him. Right? I'm thinking like 28-man rosters. You know, if he's like my wide receiver 5 or 6, something like that. I'm not going to cut him. It's going to be 30. He's potentially going to get traded. You know, maybe there's some sort of rebound avenue. Let's see what the offseason brings. You know, if he lands in a decent offense, maybe he gets some. You know, this is a guy who was worth the first-round pick at points last year, right? And at least in the offseason. You know, I'm interested to see what this offseason brings. There's potential for a trade. There's potential that he is lands with, you know, I mentioned kind of how like Marvin Jones would be a guy that would for the Bills, for example, be, you know, if he's part of an addition to, you know, continue to try and flesh out Gabe Davis, or, you know, see what Khalil Shakir has to offer. You know, maybe they go late round one and round two, something like that, with a wide receiver, you know, kind of a part of like a bigger overall approach, and just sort of throw a bunch of darts at the dartboard and see what hits. And I could see that being a value. I just kind of taking a shot on a guy that has been disappointing. There was actually some metrics I saw that indicated to him that maybe there was some bounce back potential, and that, you know, there was like some quality of routes that he wasn't targeted on, stuff like that. It was actually pretty good. So not sure what to necessarily draw from that. Something I'll have to look into a little bit further, but there was at least some sign of like, hey, maybe this wasn't all on him. I don't know. It's been 2 years. I kind of blame players when that's the case. Michael Thomas would be like, I think, the big swing in this range. Again, I would rather take the Michael Thomas bet at this point, then I would rather take the Calvin Ridley bet. Why would I say that? For a couple of reasons. Number one, I think there's a pretty good chance that Michael Thomas is going to end up with a really good offense, right? I think there's a chance that, you know, there's a pretty good chance the way they structured his contract that he is going to be out of there. That they basically made it. They basically paid him essentially a game check, basically like $1 million to restructure his contract to make it so he's more cuttable. So, yeah, that might tell you something. So we'll see how that plays out. I think he could be a candidate. I've seen it speculated that he's a candidate to go play with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. That would make a lot of sense from basically everyone's perspective. And I would be, you know, very interested in a Michael Thomas there, a Michael Thomas rebound candidacy there. That would be something that would be pretty interesting to me. The other thing I would think about, too, in this range is, you know, when you look at Michael Thomas, it's an elite profile. I mean, he's 30, but this is like a number one overall wide receiver profile. It's a 100th percentile points per route run in his career, 0.54. That's excellent, right? That's just really, really good. It's as good as it gets. And I just can't walk away from that shot when he's at wide receiver 50 in startup drafts. I just have a really, really hard time doing that. So I'm going to continue to kind of take that swing there. I think that's the right type of swing there. Listen, the bust rate's extremely high. Might as well take a guy that if he hits, like, we know that he can hit deep, right? We know that he can go long. That's kind of the way that I would think about that one. You know, so that's kind of the way I view that. Where you look at Ridley, again, he's a like a 90th percentile type performer, efficiency performer. It's similar with his grade, similar with his yards per route run, points per route run, targets per route run is a little bit lower. But by and large, like 90th percentile, if you kind of think of the guys. But that is 0.11 points per route run below Michael Thomas. That's a lot below, right? That's like, that's a nice solid like 25% lower than him. Almost 25% lower than him. So it's a pretty big difference in terms of those things. I would rather take that shot. Again, Calvin Ridley's basically not played football well in two calendar years. So he obviously missed a 2020 season. The 2021 season was a very was a shortened season. Again, he took some time away with some off-field stuff or some, you know, personal stuff for him, and then the gambling stuff, obviously, that wasn't great. I'd like to see him play football or want to play football and, you know, be committed before I really make a big investment. Again, they took a cheap-ish dart throw on a potential wide receiver one, basically on a one-year, essentially he's on a one-year prove-it deal, so we'll see how that unfolds this year. He is currently, in terms of valuation, he is over at Fantasy Calc, wide receiver 38, and that is behind like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You know, and then you look Michael Thomas again out at wide receiver 49. I'd rather take the shot on Michael Thomas 40 picks later than I would on Calvin Ridley in a range where, you know, you might be going tight end in a tight end premium format, like with some maybe some quality guys, right? You could get a decent player like Tyler Lockett for about the same price, even cheaper, right? You know, that's a potential play in that range, right? You might be able to go running back in that range where you say, all right, do I want to go, you know, would I rather take a swing on James Cook than Calvin Ridley? I can certainly see the argument for doing that, especially if I can say, hey, like, what's going to be in the Michael Thomas range of the position at running back? You know, what's that at that, right? If I had to choose between them, do I want to go Calvin Ridley and a running back, or do I want to go James Cook and Michael Thomas, right? I think I'd rather go James Cook and Michael Thomas than I'd rather go, you know, Calvin Ridley and, I don't know, Zeke. Right, like I'd rather take that type of that dual upside swing. Hey, that would sort of be the bet that I would make. So that's kind of the play there. Again, I think Michael Thomas uniquely at his price. Again, I might be going down with the ship, but it's a nice ship, right? It's a comfortable ship. And you know, I don't, if this is the last we've seen of Michael Thomas, man, that's pretty grim. And it's a pretty big bummer. But even last year, like it was a shortened season, obviously, for him, injuries and the like, before he got banged up, but was playing well, right? Like, was actually playing pretty well. You know, his PFF score is still up at 77. Again, it was only like 104 routes. It wasn't a ton of routes, but 1.64 yards per route run. It was a limited offense, too, but only three games, you know. So we'll see how this goes. Again, it's like, honestly, he's had since the end of the 2019 season, so 2020, 2021, and 2022, he has a total of 76 targets. He's got a total of 309 routes in the past 3 years. So there's a lot of injuries on him, but weirdly, not a ton of miles recently. So listen, I'm taking the swing. I'm interested in taking the swing. If he ends up in with the Saints, that'd be surprising, I think, given his contract stuff. But I do think he is a candidate to be released and wind up someplace. Someone to take a shot on him. Like, this seems like a ring-chasing situation for both sides, where the upside can be pretty solid and the downside can be pretty vast. But you take a redundancy approach with a player like him, and I could see it working. So that would be kind of my approach to Michael Thomas this offseason. And you know, he just turned 30, literally just turned. He shares a birthday, actually the same birthday, same year, same day and everything as my sister. So just turned 30. Shout out. Happy birthday to both of them. So that's going to do it here for this edition. All right. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again very soon.